All right, did we get our yayas out?
We're good.
And all right, here we go.
And rolling.
And a three, and a two, and a one, two, three. Cut, cut, cut.
What? God. We were fine.
No, he started it late.
That's better. Direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
That was Justine, everybody. Jake is here. John is here. Patrick's here.
Hi.
You guys went to see The Great Escape. It's Digital Movie Club Day. What we do in the Digital Movie Club is, to explain it quickly,
yes,
we take movies that are in my digital movie collection. Maybe I got them with a Blu-ray. Maybe I bought them on Vudu. Whatever the case, I make these guys watch those movies. In many cases, it's movies you've never seen.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Most of the time.
You forgot the intro.
Wait, we haven't done it yet. We're just explaining. Well, so every other week, we pick three movies, and we're going in chronological order by year of release, although we're going to mix it up a little bit in the next couple of weeks. But we watch those movies, then we get together, and we talk about them. This week's films will be The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, Where Eagles Dare, and the original Planet of the Apes.
Oh, they dare.
But before that, we're going to talk about a little outing that Patrick and Justine took to catch another one of the movies we watched on the Digital Movie Club, The Great Escape. And they saw it in theaters last night. What was it? What was it like seeing it on the big screen?
It's crowded in there.
Oh, was it really?
A lot of people, huh?
There's a lot of people.
Boy, that's good.
Probably like 50 or so.
That's encouraging.
It was crowded.
Well, the movie was only $5.
But that's okay. Encouraging that people want to come out and see it on the big screen.
It was crowded.
Did they show an intermission?
No.
No?
No intermission?
Does it have an intermission?
I don't know if that one does.
There is a small break that it could have an intermission, but it didn't.
Where Eagles Dare had an intermission, and the version that we watched doesn't have that intermission, so it throws me every time I watch that. But what was it like? What was the reaction? Was the audience into it?
It was funnier the second time around.
Yeah, everyone was laughing where they had to laugh.
Yeah.
Since everyone was older, there's no like little kid things happening. You didn't hear no baby crying.
Nobody on their phone.
Yeah.
That phone did ring.
Did it?
Yeah.
During what part?
It was towards the end.
Because old people.
Right when they got shot.
It was cool to have everyone laugh when you're laughing, though, you know?
That's the nice thing about seeing it in a theater. Everyone's responding at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Especially, when it's a funny part.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was really good to see it in a group. Like, it was it was a lot of fun, and you could tell everybody really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
And it was still really enjoyable.
And you said they're running Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in November? Because we're going to go see it.
Well, actually, next Tuesday, we're watching. What are we watching next Tuesday?
Oh, they're gonna show Cash and Tango.
Oh, Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
That's a weird one to show.
They showed a preview, and we couldn't stop laughing.
You've never seen Tango and Cash?
No, it looks really good.
We're not gonna get to it.
So the preview they showed was they were gonna cross some water thing with a wire, a live wire. He's like, "Yeah, you just hold the live wire," and like Kurt Russell was saying that too.
As long as you don't touch the ground, you're not gonna get electrocuted.
And he's like, "Is that true?"
I don't know.
That's such an over-the-top movie. It's crazy.
It's prime Kurt Russell.
He looks like prime Kurt Russell.
It's like Big Trouble in Little China era Kurt Russell. Yeah, it's great. And he's got the mullet, his 80s mullet
going
on.
Yeah. No, he's great.
But every Tuesday night, they're showing like old movies, $5.
Yeah.
Where, at Harkins?
Harkins. And it's like 7 o'clock. So I think next week is that one, and then the following week, I think maybe Planet of the Apes, which will be kind of cool to see on the big screen.
They have Planet of the Apes.
So I think we're gonna.
They have Singing in the Rain coming up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might skip that one.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I'm seeing that one. So I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna start going Tuesday nights and just gonna review.
Yeah, Starlight does that on Mondays, but they only do it like once. They do it once or twice.
It's like uptown.
Well, yeah,
it's like once a month.
That's what's nice about this. It's every Tuesday night.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Where is that?
Chino Hills.
There's a Harkins in Cerritos. Is the closest one.
Okay.
Cerritos Mall.
I wish the one uptown would do it more often. It's like once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always the same stuff, too. They need to get more adventurous. You know, it's always Back to the Future and Top Gun. And
well, it's always good to be adventurous.
But you, was it great seeing it on the big screen after you'd only seen it on the...
Oh, yeah.
Because those movies were really shot for, like, a big format like that.
It looks beautiful on the big screen. Like, it looks really, really nice.
There you go.
I just wish I didn't know how the whole thing went, because then it would have been amazing. Just more
definitely
amazing
different than watching
ending
it on my
it would
phone.
Have been a 10 out of 10
there you go
movie, right?
Bingo. Maybe they'll show North by Northwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll actually get to see the airplane scene.
I'm going to go out and go to the restroom really quick.
And talk
tell me, can you text me what happens while
I'm in the
bathroom?
Bathroom. What's happening? Well, there's this plane and Cary Grant's running.
He's on the floor now.
Wouldn't that be great? Your whole lives, you never really are able to watch that scene. It's always like...
I saw it. She did.
Something happens.
But it,
what
so,
if it's just with any movie, any pivotal scene? You're just like, I got to text me what happens.
Every Tuesday, expect some random movie for
Empire
us.
Empire Strikes Back. It's coming up. Here it comes. He's about to say it.
He's going to Sans Target.
Did everyone applaud at the end of The Great Escape?
Yeah.
There you go. See, you don't get that in theaters very often. You certainly don't get it with new movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody applauding.
Sure you do.
Well, Star Wars.
Star Wars or
any of the Marvel
any
movies.
Marvel movie. Just nerds.
Nobody clapped at the end of Infinity War. Nobody clapped.
Everybody was depressed. All right, let's get into it, guys. Dun, 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 dun. Digital movies. Digital movies. Digital movies. You're in the club.
Is that the line? You're in the club.
You're in the club.
You're in the club.
That's it. You're in our secret club. All right. It's Digital Movie Club. We had three great movies. This is one of my favorite. I love this whole
because all three were great
trilogy.
Okay, wait, though. How many hours in this trilogy, though, that I did not know was going to take up my time?
I told you guys this was
a 9-hour week.
I told you guys, get ready. And a little birdie told me how a certain somebody likes to wait till Tuesday night to watch their movies.
Who is
I'm
that?
I'm not going to say who it is, but I got to warn you guys.
It's me.
Yeah, you got to spread them out.
Did you do all of them in one night?
No, I watched Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Where Eagles Dare last night, and then I watched
Planet of the Apes this morning. That's
one
a good
the
marathon.
Longest ones.
I know I did the longest ones when I had more time, and then I watched the shortest one in the morning.
I became aware that there is a director's cut of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So is that what you guys were watching?
That's the one I watched.
We might have.
I don't know.
That is the one that has all. Was there a scene?
What's the extra
where
stuff?
He's in a desert? Where he's in the desert. And Tuco is washing his feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you saw the director's cut.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I saw that version, but I think that's still 20 minutes short.
Yeah, because he's like laughing, and then the guy gets close, and he kicks it.
That's when they restored. That's when there was a big deal about how they had to restore that.
That was the extended cut?
There's more to that. Then there's a whole scene.
That's the missing footage?
There's a whole scene where he has the chicken, and he calls his buddies. He's
throws it in the pod.
Yep.
That's the extended footage.
Really? Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, then I saw the extra
John,
minutes,
don't ever look at me suspiciously like that. I know what I'm talking about.
No, because I'm looking at the running time, and it didn't look like the same running time as what they just showed on Turner. There was like an extra 20
minutes
on the Turner Classics. Yeah.
Maybe there's more.
I watched it on a DVD from a few years ago, but Turner ran it last week, and there was like an extra 20 minutes.
If it was a DVD that had all the interviews on it, that's the one with the extended footage. Okay. And at the end, it should say restored footage when you guys ran the credits.
I don't pay attention to that.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure
they watch it. Because that's the one that's readily available now. That's pretty much the standard.
Okay.
If it's the one they're showing on Amazon Prime, that's the one
we
watch.
Yep.
Oh, then that must be it.
That's how we watch our movies.
Because I didn't realize that there was a director's cut until like
a couple weeks ago. It wasn't really a director's cut. It was just a restored. They restored it.
Okay.
So they added some stuff that had been cut from
right
the American release.
It's a long one.
But it's good.
3 hours.
So good.
Okay, where do you guys want to start?
Start with Planet of the Apes.
Okay, we'll start with Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
How many people had seen Planet of the Apes, the original?
Those in the audience.
John and Patrick.
How many times have seen it? How many people have seen it 50 times?
Parts of it I've seen.
I haven't seen it 50.
I haven't seen it all. I haven't sat through it and watched it all.
Did you know the ending?
Yes.
Yeah.
You already knew the ending.
Yeah, because the whole time I'm like, you're on Earth.
And then you turned it off. 10 minutes, you're like, nah.
I already know it's going to happen.
You're home.
What is he going to find?
I love it when Justine heckles the audience.
Okay, can I just say something really quick?
Charlton Heston was a
naive,
good actor.
How naive must you be to think that there is another planet in the galaxy or universe, wherever he thinks he is, that has people, or that has humans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ape-like creatures and also speak English.
Well, alternate universe, maybe.
You got to remember.
I mean, it's an infinite, you know, probability.
How pompous.
You know,
absolutely.
You people also talk about, gee, they can breathe the air, and gee, this looks like the Grand Canyon.
Well, look, that's the point. Like, he goes by the Grand Canyon.
Don't they know they're in the Grand Canyon? How could they not know that?
Which is kind of interesting.
Lake Powell. Such an alien planet. There's like an abandoned like McDonald's sign. Like, wow, must be some ancient. Must
be some
ancient
relic.
Great
ending. Instead, it's like a Burger King sign. Do you blow it up? You maniacs!
Taco Bell, the only place to survive.
It's a Starbucks.
It would have to be
a Starbucks. Or like a Big Boy's kind of just.
That would be great. A Bob's Big Boy holding up a burger.
Yeah, Bob's Big Boy.
All melted.
That would be ours, John.
You blew it up. You might be all, oh no, is that the original Burbank tree? Oh my, no, you do.
They're in Burbank, they blew it, you sons of bitches.
That was the last one, you blew it up.
I'll kill every one of you.
That's a protected landmark.
Did you enjoy the movie, guys? Did you love this one?
Does the Pope shit in the woods?
Yes.
Does Dr. Zaius shit in the woods?
Yeah.
Does Dr. Zaius shit in the Forbidden Zone?
Oh, yeah. He shits on the Forbidden Zone.
Did you recognize our friend, the officer from Them, as one of the members of the tribunal?
The lawgiver.
James Whitmore. Yep. James Whitmore is one of them.
No, their makeup was really good. I can't really tell. Like, I wouldn't really know what they look like.
Pretty amazing for a 50-year-old movie.
Yeah. And that's what I read. And
it's great.
Just the practical effects alone are revolutionary in that movie.
I mean, the makeup is insane.
Yeah.
Some of the trivia, I guess the girl went up to the director later, and she was like, oh, so how are you feeling? And he's like, I don't know this girl, but she's the main lead.
Oh, Kim Hunter.
Yeah, he didn't recognize her because she didn't have the makeup
on. That's crazy.
I always love the little thing they do with their nose.
The wiggle?
They told them to make sure that they do all those characteristics.
Study
so it looks
primate
more real.
Behavior.
That's awesome.
Not even study, just all your little twitches, just make sure you make it obvious.
It looks more real. It doesn't look like a mask.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was watching it, I was really listening to Jerry Goldsmith's score. This is one of those first scores. It's real super like sparse, and there's a lot of, there's not.
It's almost avant-garde.
Yeah.
That stuff at the beginning is otherworldly.
Yeah, yeah. Like really, really cool.
That helps you forget that it's like Powell because you're hearing all this, you know, there's like blowing through conch shells.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Well,
you're
noticing that with the movies this week is that they have a score now and there's music playing in the background.
Well, especially Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful part.
So what did you think?
The Planet of the
Apes. Yeah.
It was really light. You haven't really shown us a light movie in a while.
I guess in 68 it wasn't light.
I mean, I don't know. Like watching it and the way they were talking.
They
give
his friend a lobotomy and, you know, that's
light in the fact that, you know, apes are treating humans the same way that they've been treated.
You've seen harsher movies since.
Exactly. Like hearing them talk and then the way they were reacting to things, I felt like I was watching an old TV show. But
in 68, that was pretty dark. You're like, Jesus, you know?
But they were apes.
I love that scene in Mad Men where he takes his son to see it. And at the end, that's exactly what he's like, geez. Like, he's just like, wow.
It's pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, if you affect Don Draper like that, you know.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it, though? Well, you know what it is? I think it's because he's so hammy.
He's over the top.
He's
chewing the scenery. And on the flip side, you know, Kim Hunter and Roddy McDowell, they're kind of underplaying because they don't have to overplay. They're wearing ape.
All of the Dr. Zaius, everybody in that movie is so great.
Any of the apes were fantastic, but you can definitely tell Charlton Heston kind of hams it up a little bit. And you're like,
and it's great dialogue because, you know, Rod Serling put his fingerprints all over that.
Yes, the guy who wrote the Twilight Zone.
And
the way that they talked, they were just so proper and nice. It wasn't like they had a little bit, I'm a little confused, though.
An advanced society of simians.
So, we watched Planet of the Apes, the latest one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
a reboot.
Prequel, then.
Well, it's a reboot.
No.
They're trying to tell you a story that hasn't been told yet, which is how it happened at the very beginning. You haven't seen the first one. The very first one from about 6-7 years ago, where they show you something happens. That's what makes the...
I've seen those.
Yeah, so that's the start of it.
They have one intelligent ape, and at the same time, they got this stuff that's affecting the humans.
Yeah, and I think they show the girl with the doll, right?
It's like the same thing.
You need to see the first two of that trilogy, because it shows you exactly ground zero, which no movie had done. How does this happen? At the very beginning, how does it happen? Mm. And it's a combination of a very intelligent ape, and they do some testing on him, but the same stuff that makes him smart starts degrading all the humans. And it's and
the
it's,
first movie. That one was really sad.
It was really good. They're really the new trilogy is good. It's just for me they weren't essential. Like I could wait till they come on video.
It's more of like if you're a fan, it's like okay, we're gonna tell you how this happened.
Yeah.
How humans' intelligence? Why did they start losing their intelligence? And how did apes start talking?
What amazes me about this movie is that for people a little older than me, like you and my brothers, this was their Star Wars.
Oh
like,
yeah, it was.
This was
my dad
found out we watched it. My mom's like, "That's his favorite movie."
Is that right? Really?
She's like, "You should make him a guest so he could talk about
it." Wow!
Bring him in here. We get your dad in
because
here.
You know they had merchandise.
You just want him to say smoothie.
Yeah, that too.
You know, like Alex and I, they had bubblegum cards, comic books.
That was the first movie to really go nuts with the merchandise.
And they had the Mego action figures.
I had
and the Planet of the Apes game.
I had the action figures from the TV show.
There you go.
There was a show in the 70s for like one season or two.
And you know that's why 20th Century Fox. I think that's why they took the leap on Star Wars. They said, you know. Every other studio said, we don't want it. And they said, you know, this is kind of like, we've seen this before. This could be like what we had with Planet of the Apes. When they were trying to come up with like contracts for the toys and all that, they said, you know, we were able to make a lot of merchandise off of that Planet of the Apes series. And they thought, maybe, just maybe.
Maybe it'll work.
Well, I read that they didn't do this. They weren't going to until they put out, what is that Voyage movie that we just watched?
Fantastic Voyage
is the reason why they made this movie.
Oh, is that right?
There you go. See?
Because it did well?
They saw how people liked the sci-fi world, and then they brought
back. And again, this is one that tries to be a little more realistic when you're talking about, you know, the theory of relativity and time, you know, time moves differently for people that are traveling at light speed. and that people back on Earth are already dead. Like, you know.
They put some thought into it.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't dopey. This was like trying to construct the timeline. You have to use your imagination. Like, what did happen? And like all through the movies going, what the hell happened that the apes were in charge? You know?
And I was going to be pissed off if that guy couldn't talk the whole time.
Oh, yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, come on, just say this, say You're that. Saying,
But it is kind of great at first because he's all, I'm screwed. I'm the only one that can talk and I'm shot in the throat. It really is frustrating. And he tries to write it down and they knock it out of his hand.
The girl erases it, and you're like, oh, you bitch.
Well, that's why he pushes her. But the whole thing with the girl.
It's okay to hit a woman.
He's all, not now.
That movie was horrible because, she doesn't talk. He just takes her along.
She's just eye candy. Talk.
Yeah.
She's Daryl Zanuck's girlfriend.
I didn't like how different she looked from everyone else, though. Like, her hair was perfect.
It's okay to look different.
She looked great. No.
Like, her eyebrows were great.
Yeah.
I mean.
Nova. And then they put just a little mud. Okay, we'll just put a little smudge of mud
on your
face.
So light dusting.
Everyone just looked mangy.
But you see everyone else, and they have like a wig. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. They all look like Neanderthals, except for Nova. I love what he says. If this is the best they got, we'll be running this planet in 6 months. You know, it's a great sort of setting him up for the fall.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, they're all in the trees, you know.
But she,
here you go, smartass. Yeah.
She ended up sleeping with the director, right? And that caused their divorce.
Is that true?
I read that.
Wow.
That she got the part and then they ended up divorcing after.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had a kid, two kids.
But you said she was
Daryl Zanuck's girlfriend. That's how she got the job.
Banged her way to stardom?
Hey, listen, I didn't
They were
say
both
that.
Taken, and then they had an affair during the taping.
Wow.
And then when the movie came out, then the divorce happened.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he said, I want you to dress up like Nova. Whenever we go out, you got to dress up like Nova.
Then he turned around and won the Oscar for Patton.
So the thing that bothered me is the whole ending, how he blew it up, so there's no more Zal. They can't do that, and, you know, like, they're just in trouble. So is there another movie that
keeps going? Oh, my God.
There's
four more.
There's four more.
In this series, there's four more.
No, the next one sucks.
The next one's called Beneath the Planet of the Apes. The problem is each movie, they have a smaller budget. Even though this made a lot of money, 20th Century Fox was in financial trouble. So every movie, they said, let's make it a little cheaper. So they start looking a little less.
They look more like, by the end, they look like TV movies.
But here's the thing. So Beneath the Planet of the Apes, they send an astronaut to go looking for the Charlton Heston character. And then they find all these mutants under the Planet of the Apes that are all scarred up. They survived the nuclear war.
Wait, don't tell them. We're going to watch it.
Okay.
Is it on your list?
It's on our list.
Check this out.
All five of the Planet of the Apes.
Check this out.
Rise of the Dawn of the War of the Planet of the Apes.
The third one is really interesting because it's called Escape from the Planet of the Apes. Cornelius and Zira take a spaceship to 1970s Earth, and now the shoe's on the other foot. They're like, what the hell is it with these talking apes? And it's very interesting.
That is so lame.
No. You got to see it. It's a good one.
They get cheesier and campier, but they're pretty awesome.
But he's right. By the time they get to the fifth one, they're like, well, they're all wearing ape masks. They look like Don Post, like, you know, Halloween masks. You know.
This movie, though, didn't seem like a movie to me. It seemed like a...
Like a TV show?
Yeah, like that's a TV odd. Movie.
How so?
It just seemed lighter.
The production values? That you keep saying lighter. That's interesting.
These themes are very real, okay?
No, but it's interesting. 50 years later, this does not feel as heavy anymore. She keeps saying it's lighter.
You mean lighter, like lighter production-wise? Like it looks
compared
like
to all the other movies we're watching.
The tone, yeah. Hmm. I guess after watching like World War Z and a million
Wait, guys.
Sci-fi.
We're forgetting.
So the fact that mankind is resting on this man who is trying to convince
We're forgetting a very crucial piece of information about Justine.
She gave Casablanca.
She gave Casablanca a 6. She laughed at Professor X's death.
Yep.
She hates Toy Story 2. Mm.
I think it's more you've sat through a lot of really dark sci-fi.
Well, yeah, I mean, watch all the other stuff.
This does not feel as heavy because it's the first of its kind.
And you know what? It's also really bright.
John, you're making excuses.
A lot of bright lights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
it doesn't
outdoors.
Have this dark tone at all.
No.
They're except in a lab for the fact that he's in a cage.
They're in a lab, though, and the lab is bright. It's like it's all sunny. And
well...
I mean, besides the storm that they were
in. So superficially it's light, but as far as the situation he's in, it's pretty dark.
The situation, the tone, the
but I know what you're saying. You have sat through, most people have sat through a lot of dark sci-fi movies in the last 30 years, and so...
Well, okay, what was the feeling you're supposed to get from this movie? Is there another movie that you would have the same feeling as this one?
No.
No?
Well, this is kind of one of a kind. At the time, this was a one of a kind movie.
It's the twist ending that really
that's what
sells it.
Knocked everybody out.
And that's something I've already seen.
Yeah, you already kind
and
of.
And it's like Psycho. How are you alive and not know what the ending is?
Right.
It's like Psycho. Even if you've never seen Psycho, you go, oh yeah, this is where she gets stabbed. You know. So with Planet of the Apes, can you find anybody that hasn't heard about the ending? You know?
It would have been different if I didn't know the ending at all.
Because imagine being in that audience the first night, because I'm sure after the first week everybody knew, but that first night you go see it and you're like, holy shit. I mean, that must have been a hell of a thing at the end, you know? And it's done so well. It really looks good. You know, when they slowly pan back, you see the back of the crown and you're like, what the hell is that? Like a fort or something? And then you go, oh shit. That's like a great moment.
I love it.
It's not in the book. I think that had to be certain.
Yeah, certainly.
It was added in afterwards, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they were going back and forth about how they wanted that ending to be.
That is the most Twilight Zone ending
because,
of all movies.
Because, you know, how else are you going to, you've had this movie, how else are you going to just pull the rug out?
There is no other movie that goes past that.
What do you mean?
Like, you don't follow that guy.
Yes,
you don't follow the girl.
Yeah, the very next one. Nova's still walking around looking for Taylor. And this other, it's supposed to be like a month or two later, Earth sends another spaceman and he crash lands. He takes the same trajectory and the same problem happens. He crashes on this planet. He's looking for Taylor. He does the same thing. He's all, what the hell is it with these? And then he sees the apes, but he runs into Nova. And she's wearing his dog tags, Taylor's dog tags. And so it is a sequel, and it does tell you what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it follows Charles Manson.
But I'm not going to tell you, it's not as good by a long shot, but there is another crazy ending. And I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I'm not going to know those at all.
You're not going to watch those?
Well, I'm not going to know the ending of those.
We have to watch it.
It's kind of fun. At least take it up to Escape from the Planet of the Apes. If you want to see them walking around 1970s Los Angeles and how the government's all, like there's these government operatives going, there's a problem here because they sort of figure out, uh-oh, they're from our future. It's interesting. You got to check it out.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
You're going to watch them all.
I did read that it's his last name. His last name is Taylor, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's something I didn't get from watching it.
Well,
I think.
I don't know.
But that didn't ruin the movie.
Because I kept thinking his name was Taylor.
Rod Taylor.
But I thought it was a pretty light movie.
She keeps saying it's a light movie. It's not like it's a...
You mean
like it's 48 hours?
But I understand what she's trying to say. It's not gritty.
No,
it's not super violent. It's not. I get what you're saying when you say light.
For 2018,
compared to what
as a kid,
I'm with you, John.
Compared to let's say the first 5 minutes of Good, the Bad, the Ugly, where Lee Van Cleef shoots a guy in the face through a pillow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's a more family friendly.
Yes,
movie.
It was very family friendly.
I agree.
There you go. Yeah. It was like a Disney.
So the problem is you watch this back to back with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Out of those three, okay, and by the way.
That was the last movie I watched.
I counted how many people Clint Eastwood killed in Where Eagles Dare. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. I lost count after 24.
Now I know why you're saying that.
Yeah.
If you
him
watch
his
that,
little silence pistol.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch that's it. That's why you think
I mean,
it's light.
You watch them fight, and it's like a hi-ya.
That's how you hold a gun.
Hi-ya, and they grab them, and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
No, that explains it. She watched it last, of course. The other two are really gruesome and bloody.
So visually, it's very light, but thematically, it's pretty dark. Does that
very
make sense
dark.
To you?
Yeah.
It's not bloody. I guess that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bloody.
It's not a bloody movie.
Yeah. it's a situation. I remember watching this as a kid, which would have been like maybe 73. So like 6 years later. And it was, you know, like...
Maybe it affects guys more with the fear of gelding, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Right? I know when Zayas is all, first we'll castrate you, then we'll...
The only time I thought it was dark and I was a little worried was when his... When he finds his friend, because he's trying to find Logan, and he finds his friend, and he has the cut.
Lobotomy.
And I was like, oh, that sucks.
And then the other guy
and he
stuffed.
Almost got to lop it off of me.
Yeah, the other guy's
The other guy's in a museum stuffed. I remember somebody going, boy, that was quick.
Yeah.
They caught him this morning, and he's already stuffed it in a museum, you know?
That was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Overall, did you like it, though?
Yeah, it was good.
Jake, what did you think, man?
I thought it was great.
Do you love it?
Thematically very dark.
I thought something, he was going to do something dirty to the girl, but that's just movies now.
That's late.
That's movies now.
That's just movies now. Exactly. And then the girl ended up dying in the ship. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, no, I guess nothing dirty is going to happen. And dead and decrepit. Yeah,
I love the production design. I like the mm-hmm. ape village. Yeah. I like everything's thought out. The way their guns are, the guns would be like, they're perfect for someone who, you know, the big like ape hands, the chimpanzee or the gorilla hands can fire the guns. They've got like the big grips, mm-hmm. kind of like clunky weapons. Like,
yeah,
everything's well thought out. Everything's really, really well thought out.
They ran this at the Egyptian a couple weeks ago and they had the production designer there and he talked about what they had to come up with on the budget. It wasn't a big budget. It looks like a bigger budget than it was. And he said he had to get creative. How do I make these things look, you know, sort of futuristic, but also kind of a throwback? And he had looked at places, like there's some place in Brazil was really out there architecture. And he said, maybe we could shoot there. And the producer's all, nope. You're going to have to like come up with something out of, you know, much cheaper materials, just build it out by Lake Powell, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is here...
But it looks great.
The problem with watching a lot of like TV and stuff from this era is... They shot a lot of stuff at the Fox Ranch.
Sure.
So you can tell, I've seen this location
right.
before.
Anytime they shoot.
Yeah, but they built this city there, and it's like, okay.
I just think they did a great job making it look futuristic, but also kind of like what would apes build, you know?
Well, I did read that they wanted it to have more technology in there.
Because in the book, I think they're flying helicopters and cars and the whole bit. And they just said, we do not have a budget for that. You're going to have to make it a little more like, you know. And
it works.
It absolutely works.
Yeah.
And the makeup is like 50% of why the movie works. Mm-hmm. John Chambers, that's an amazing, for 68, and still it looks amazing.
And those performances.
Yeah. Through the makeup.
So good.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite character, Jake? Who did you like the best?
I thought Dr. Zayas was the most interesting.
Yeah.
He... obviously knew what happened to the humans and why they, like, you know, why their planet is the way it is. And I thought it was cool that he was kind of like pulling the wool over everyone's eyes just to like ensure that doesn't happen to them.
Yeah, there's that great thing about him throwing religion as a blind to people, so they won't question
a lot
things.
Of parallels.
Yeah, there's a lot of great parallels.
And when they find that doll, you know, tell me, Dr. Zayas, why would somebody build a doll that can talk? You know, it's like,
yeah, I love it.
Mama.
You just like seal it up. Blow it up.
Blow it up. What did Jake, or I'm sorry, Patrick, did you love it watching it again?
Yeah. It's definitely a great movie. And I think that thematically, and I understand where she's coming from, that it looks, in comparison to a lot of movies we've been watching, very light and it's well lit. It's not dark. It's not a dark feeling
it's
movie.
It's not bloody, yeah.
But thematically and the undertones and what they're alluding to,
especially the ending,
super dark. And it's super depressing, and it's not only a commentary both on, you know, like society and everything like that. Well, basically, it's a societal piece. But it's one of my favorite movies.
Yay!
I really enjoy this movie.
I mean, think about where we were in 68 as far as the Cold War.
Yeah.
And
you're thinking, okay, that's how it ended. It ended with we both dropped the bomb, you know, Russia.
Exactly, and you know it's not the apes that dropped the bomb, but man.
In 68, you're going, oh, yeah, that could happen. Like, so, you know... 62 was like the
sure,
yeah.
But Dr. Zayas by far is probably the most interesting character in that movie.
Yeah,
he
knows.
Definitely steals it.
Yeah,
just because you start to hate him from the beginning, and then as the movie progresses, you start to understand where he's coming from and why he's doing things this way.
Yeah, when
so you feel
goes,
for him.
Why do you hate me? It's because I know what you are.
Yeah,
he's been to the Forbidden Zone. He says, "I know what's out there." That's why that ending is so great. Where's he gonna find? Well. He's not going to like what he finds. Yeah. You know, I've been out there.
He's not a bad guy. He's just trying to keep he's trying to keep society from...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Justine, did you have a favorite character?
I like the lady ape. You haven't really seen a movie where a girl's talking and...
Zira, yeah.
I can't remember her name.
And she's the smartest.
Yeah. We haven't really seen that happen, and she's trying to talk, and And they weren't really telling her it's because she's a girl, so it was kind of cool to see that too.
You're like, hey, Ape Society.
I'm on board. Bad, man. Like, it's obvious that she's as smart as Zaius, and she's probably the smartest doctor on the planet, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's the one saying, wait a minute, this is bullshit. You know, why won't you let me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is the nephew. I like the little nephew.
Oh, yeah.
He's terrible at his job.
He hates adults.
That's the only dated part, you know. Oh, you adults, you know. Yeah. It's like, give him hell. Yeah. Don't trust anybody over 30. It's like, all right, now we know when this movie was made.
Love it.
But if you like the Lady Ape, if you like Zira, she gets plenty to do in that third movie.
Well, I like her because we haven't really watched a movie with a strong female character yet.
She is great the whole series.
She gets a lot to do in that third one, yeah.
She's good. Yeah. And you get Ricardo Montalban.
That's right. I'm telling you.
Now we have to watch it.
Skip the second one and watch the third one.
We'll watch the second one, just so you can see how it is. Yeah. It's because it's James Franciscus.
I know. He's the poor man's Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Because he's doing the exact same thing. He's like, what's going on around here? It's like Taylor Jr. What's apes? What the hell?
Damn you all to hell.
It's okay. It's just Dr. Zaius. What movie is that?
Oh, you get the gorilla. The great thing about the second one is you get James Gregory as Ursus.
Yeah, that's right.
Or is it Urko?
I think it's Ursus.
In the TV show, I think it's Urko. Mark what Lennard.
Movie,
yeah.
What movie was that, though?
The only good human is a dead human.
No, what movie was that? Oh, it's okay. It's just Dr. Zaius.
Oh, Reality Bites.
Yes! That's right.
She knocks it over. He has a little Dr. Zaius statue. She knocks it over and breaks it, and he's all, oh, that's okay. It was just Dr. Zaius. And what's funny is I had that model. I had that Dr. Zaius model. We picked up all that stuff. We picked up the models and the figures and all that stuff.
Good stuff, John. Good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
One of my all-time favorites.
What do you guys want to talk about next?
Wait, are we going to rate it?
Our rating.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. What is your rating on Planet of the Apes? The original. Justine.
I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 6.
Hey, don't put words in her mouth, you know.
I'm trying not to give it a 5.
See?
How did it make you feel?
I'll give it a 6 because of the set and the...
John had a heart attack.
It's as good as Casablanca.
Good as Casablanca. You know,
it was just the people. It kind of felt nice to hear their type of voices, the way they talked back then. And yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Patrick, this is one of your favorites?
Yeah, it's a solid like 8.5, 9 for me. It's such a good movie.
Jake?
I agree. 8.5.
Oh, Jesus.
John,
we're the same person.
I give it a 9, but for sentimental, it's a knockout. But for sentimental reasons, I would give it a 10. Because as a kid, this was one of my all-time favorite movies. This was like one of those defining movies when you go, which movie really rocked your world? As a kid, this was one of them. Yeah.
All right, I give it an eight. I give it an 8. It's always I grew up a few years after The Influence, but it's one that I always enjoy revisiting.
You're right. The influence is there because they do the TV show. They did an animated show. This was around for years.
It's definitely the best of the series.
It is.
Yeah.
Because it's the one that looks like an A picture. None of them look like an A picture.
And it's also, I will say, I still like this one better than any of the remakes.
Yes.
Any of the.
So the little kids like the apes?
You mean back in 68?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, John,
know.
Did you like the apes back in 68?
We just loved the story, and it's cool that that we dug the makeup. They sold masks. We picked up some cool Planet of the Apes masks. We just liked the whole concept. I don't know that we like, ooh, we like the apes. We just liked the idea of it, that they pulled this thing off. It was just a fascinating story.
Sure.
It's not like, when I grow up, I want to be an ape, just like the guy on the horseback with a gun. It was just a fascinating idea, you know what I mean?
I want to be Dr. Zaius.
Exactly. The whole thing from top to bottom was just like, wow, this is cool, you know?
Can I give a little side note?
Sure.
One of my nephews, he said, when I grow up, I want to be a skeleton. And all of us were like,
that's what's going to happen.
Yes, you will.
Hey, have you had a conversation with your dad since you've seen it?
No.
Your mom said this is one of his favorites?
Yeah.
You'll have to have a great talk with him
she
about
said
it.
He can talk on and on and on about it.
You can, I already did that with John.
You better get in there. You better get in there and talk
to
him.
That's a great bond.
Well, I'll probably watch the second whenever we watch the second one, I'll watch that with him.
We're gonna watch them all eventually.
But I feel like with the first one, I just already knew when they landed. I'm like, they're already gonna be.
You
on
know what? The next couple are like shorter.
Oh,
you know?
I did not like that he kissed her. I like how she's like,
yeah, that was
he's
weird.
Like, I'm gonna kiss you. I'm like, ew, get away from
I
me.
I love that she goes, you're so damn ugly.
Yeah.
And also when he's shaving, makes you look less civilized somehow.
Yeah,
yeah, less intelligent.
Less intelligent. Yeah. I thought that, you know, it's great. They had a poster of that, the two of them kissing. I think there was a poster that they used to sell saying, love, means never having to say you're ugly or something.
You're so damn ugly.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen that.
That's such a great line.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're just so damn ugly. And yeah. she just laughs.
Oh, now, did you know? Okay, you kind of zeroed in on her. Kim Hunter, who played mm-hmm. Zira, she was in Streetcar Named Desire. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't even know what this actress looks like.
Take a look. Take a look. It's really fascinating to see what she looks like. She's the female lead in Streetcar Named Desire.
Yep.
Heavy, you know, she was a big star in the 50s.
And this was kind of a comeback role for her.
And Roddy McDowell. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Roddy McDowell. Take a look at a young Roddy McDowell, and you know what he looks like under that makeup. You know.
She does not look like what I thought she would look like.
Well, under makeup, ape makeup, nobody looks like that. And Roddy McDowell, it's a fat. You said you like the voices. He's got this very beautiful, cultured voice.
Yeah.
And Maurice Evans, who played Dr. Zaius, is a Shakespearean actor. So that's what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Edward G. Robinson. There's a screen test. If you get the bonus DVD Blu-ray, there's a screen test of Edward G. Robinson as Dr. Zaius. And it was toward the end of his life, and it was going to be just too hot to wear all that makeup. But there's a screen test of him wearing a prototype makeup.
That would be great.
And he's doing a couple of the speeches.
And he kind of gets to have that moment in Soylent Green
yes.
with
that's what's
with
interesting.
Charlton Heston.
Now,
yeah.
that's a triple feature. Soylent Green,
Omega Man,
and Planet of the Apes.
The Charlton Heston sci-fi trilogy?
It's the dystopia, you know, Future Shock trilogy. Yeah. And that's like one after the other. He's the go-to guy. Oh. Who do we need? Moses. He's the last man on Earth. Who do we get? Moses.
Moses, that's right. All right, let's move on, guys. We had a Clint Eastwood double feature.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to go into War Eagles there? Do you want to
yeah.
do Good and
yeah,
Bad? Okay, yeah, let's save Good and Bad and
Ugly for last.
Because
mm-hmm. that's like, in a lot of ways, that's like the best, yeah.
All right, you know,
well, maybe. We don't know.
Who's to say?
Was it great? Was it horrible?
I'm going to guess, Justine.
Find out soon.
Let me, very quickly, I'm so sorry, you guys. We did not mention, I didn't give the particulars of the Planet of the Apes. Planet of the Apes was released, is based on a book by Pierre Boulez, and it was, who also wrote Bridge on the River Kwai, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And it was, the original movie was made in 1968, and it was directed by
Franklin Schaffner.
Franklin Schaffner, who would go on to win the Oscar for Patton.
That's right.
Which we're going to watch.
A hell of a director.
Yeah, so just to give you that. So now, this is a movie, this is a kind of a forgotten World War II movie, and I was always fascinated with it.
Why?
You mean World War II spy thriller?
Yes. I was always interested in it because I knew it was written by the same guy that had written The Guns of Navarone, which mm-hmm. I loved when I was a kid. The novel's based on the same guy.
What's the guy's name?
Alistair MacLean.
There you go.
Alistair MacLean.
Very good.
And I was always fascinated because it was never on TV, ever, but I had seen stills. I had all these books of like, and I saw the helicopter, and helicopters were not in use in World War II yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, what does that mean? And the helicopter ends up playing a very small, tiny role, almost... Mm-hmm. Nothing rolls. One quick shot.
Yeah.
But it always fascinated me as a kid. It's like, why is there a helicopter in this movie?
Wow, you were hardcore.
Yeah.
You're a kid and you're going, that's not correct.
That's not correct. Yeah.
That's not correct.
What a nerd.
I was a nerd.
So you said, that helicopter is like Donald Sutherland in Kelly's Heroes.
Yes.
It's like, what?
It's the one thing that keeps me from enjoying Kelly's Heroes.
I know.
And I have it. It's a great, it's got Don Rickles. It's got a great cast.
You know, I heard that, I listened to that podcast and I was like, yeah. That's the one thing wrong with that movie.
Yeah,
it's all far out. No, no, no.
No,
you were right on the money. Make him a beatnik, maybe.
Yeah.
And you're still 5 years off.
Yeah. It's 1943.
Like, but you're like, God, did they have to make him a hippie?
Yeah. Well, they do. The Germans did have helicopters in that, but they weren't. They didn't look like that. They weren't really
they
used.
They didn't look like that.
They weren't used for really.
What were they used for?
Like mainly moving like. They were prototypes.
Picking up cars?
No. Yeah. Picking up cars.
For like transport?
And dropping them into the ocean. A la You Only Live
Twice. Japanese efficiency.
So let's talk about War Eagles there. It's made in 1968. Let's go over to the IMDb page. It's got a 7.7 on IMDb. Oh, I forgot to give the Rotten Tomatoes warning for... Rating.
Warning.
Rotten Tomatoes
warning.
I'm guessing Rotten Tomatoes gave Planet of the Apes a 10.
Warning. It is directed by Brian G. Hutton here, written by Alistair MacLean. He also wrote the screenplay, and it stars Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood are the your main characters there, and a whole cast of slimy Nazis,
and one beautiful barmaid.
Oh,
played
my.
By Ingrid Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what was Ingrid Pitt? Wasn't she in the Hammer movie?
She was in a couple Hammer films: Countess Dracula, The Vampire Lovers, and The House That Dripped Blood.
Does she not have blonde hair?
Oh, she is a blonde.
Oh, okay.
But she might have worn a wig
it
for the movie.
It looked like a wig. At some point.
She's the barmaid. She's not the main spy. By the way, did look like a wig.
Can we talk about later on what a badass Mary is? Like at the end, back of the bus, just taking down Nazis.
People down with freaking guns. Just like, nope.
I freaking love this movie because it's so ridiculous.
It is.
But it's so awesome.
It is. You got to love it.
It's again like Guns of Navarone. It's like we're going to send a small team in.
Yeah.
Same story. Now this time, ostensibly, they're trying to rescue a captured American general.
I feel like you like it because it kind of had a Sherlock Holmes feel to it.
He's very Holmesy.
Watching it, I was like,
I think Richard Burton brings that sort of acting side. Now, remember.
Oh, he steals this
so
movie.
This is Richard Burton, Shakespearean actor, Liz Taylor's husband like five times. So him to do this movie, this would be like Patrick Stewart starring in like the next, like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say Crank because it's a better movie.
It's not that great. It's not like that. But it is. Yeah, I wonder what the circumstances were. I'm not quite sure why he did take this movie.
Yeah, but putting him with Clint Eastwood would be like now. Like putting,
and how big was Clint Eastwood at
the
time?
He still wasn't huge
yet.
He
was coming off of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, but he had just
But that
had
was, took years, though, yeah, to come to the U.S. Yeah.
But he was he was starting to become an international star.
Yeah, he was well-known.
Yeah.
But
and
not.
As a fact, this is even after Hang 'Em High, probably.
Yeah, which was his first big, huge American
hit. I mean, you look at the posters, it's Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood. Those are the two names at the top.
And Clint Eastwood's perfect because he doesn't have to say anything in this movie.
He doesn't talk at all. It's
wonderful.
But I mean,
that is perfect. Because Burton gets to do all that stuff, like at the end, that's when he sounds like Sherlock Holmes explaining the plot.
Yes,
you need a Richard Burton to explain the plot. He walks around the table going, "You see," and he switches in the back of the room with the gun. Now, all right, you tell me when. Now, okay, I'll put the silencer on. You ready? No, I want to tell. And furthermore, you now, do I blow the room up now? No,
I
no.
mean, you thought for a good minute he was a German
double
agent. That's
a great moment, isn't
that's
it?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, wait, shit, he is
emotional
evil.
Emotional roller coaster.
Oh, shit, he's not evil. Wait, I'm so confused.
Like, who is, what is he?
Yeah.
And what I love about this movie is they're like, look, it's 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. You've been very patient with us this whole time.
Let's cram it
here's,
all in.
Here's 30 minutes of Nazis getting slaughtered as a reward.
Yes.
They really just like uncork. They uncork Clint Eastwood at the end. But let's go back. Let's back up.
With two submachine guns.
Yeah, he's got the two.
And you know what I
realized?
Somebody somewhere said that there was supposed to be more of Burton blowing away Nazis, but it's like he wasn't up for it. I don't know if it was for health reasons or drinking reasons.
Clint's
said,
like, I got
Clint,
it.
Clint, yeah, Clint
they said,
in the
okay,
back,
then
like,
Clint
me.
Will just take more of them out. Clint, it was supposed to be like the two of them, guns blazing, and he's like, you know, oh, not quite up to it.
Yeah. <It's> like, I don't feel like killing Nazis.
I drink a little too much less.
We had seen Richard Burton before as the pilot in The Longest Day. He was the RAF pilot who got shot down and was sitting there at the at the barn. That's where we had seen him.
Beckett.
So look,
that was a short clip.
I'm gonna let Jake take the lead on this one. Jake, you had never seen this one?
No, I had never seen this
one. I don't think any of us had
and
seen
what this. Did you think of this one?
I thought it was great. It's a really fun, like, espionage movie. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a way to describe it. They get themselves into a lot of really sticky situations, and it's kind of fun to see. What was the actor guy?
Richard Burton.
Richard, kind of fun to see Richard Burton just kind of.
He's also
just takes the lead for like every single scene that he's in. He's just like, no, well, what's the plan now? And he's just like, better look out there than he is. Like, yeah,
but I love that he thinks on his feet. He's always got a, like, they come in looking for him. He's like, well, we'll see you after the war. And they just turn themselves in. And you're like, how are we going to get out of this?
We're the spies you're looking for. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's as unshakable as Eastwood. That's why they're a good pair, you know?
Mm-hmm. Jake, Patrick, what did you think?
This was a lot of fun. I was just like, it was different. It's a dark movie, but just shot darkly. The spirit of the movie is very lighthearted, it seems. And it's just, it was a lot of fun. It felt like a really, really good James Bond movie.
I really want them to, I want somebody to remake this movie.
Like, that would be great.
There is a lot of Bond moments where you go, oh yeah, this is what.
It's Bond without the gadgets, which I think was wonderful.
It's Bond in World War II.
Mm-hmm. So it was really, really cool.
It's what James Bond would be doing in World War II.
And that's funny because Ian Fleming, who wrote those books, was in the British Secret Service in
Espionage.
World War II. Yeah.
But it definitely felt like Richard Burton would have been Bond and Eastwood is there was talk.
He
would have been great.
There were a lot of actors that were thrown.
Yeah. Cary Grant.
Yeah,
there David were a lot.
Cary Grant.
Yeah, but his just that whole scene in the high command office where they're trying to discern who's actually the traitors and who aren't, and for the longest time you think, oh shit, they're really just trying to pretend to be traitors, and he's the bad guy, and you're just like, wait, crap. So it was a good moment where you could not, like, for seeing it for the first time, you did not know that he was still a good guy.
Where he turns on Clint Eastwood for a second.
He turns again.
He calls him a second-rate punk.
Yeah.
And you forget.
Eastwood comes back and goes, second-rate punk, really?
That's what's sad, yeah.
You forget that scene. There is a scene, because it gets interrupted, where you realize in the bar, he does let... Richard Burton lets Clint Eastwood on it. He tells him, because he goes, what am I doing here? I'm an American. He goes, all right, let me tell you. And they cut away. Yeah. So he knew about the plan, but you don't know that he knows about the plan.
They don't kind of like spell it out.
Yeah, you don't know that he knows.
He knew that that's why he was there and the truth of why.
Yeah, but he didn't know he was going to turn on
him. But he didn't know that he was going to turn on him. And I think that was because that reaction was definitely genuine.
Yeah.
It's great that he had to keep his cool. It's like, okay, are we taking it here now? It's like,
and this movie had some fantastic dummy kills, just to throw in for Brent.
There are a lot of dummy kills.
There's like two off of that one. There's one off the side of the mountain when they're climbing off. That's the best.
The one off the side of the mountain is great because he falls off with no jacket, and then the dummy has a jacket.
But the
on.
Dummy's really stiff. Yeah. It's like getting through a mannequin.
There's a dummy that gets launched out of the car.
Yes, yes.
That's a good one.
There's some really good dummy over kills. And it's some
the guy that falls off the tram or falls off the cable car.
Yep, that's a dummy.
Oh, those are great scenes on the cable car. That's amazing. Not the cable car, the tram.
What about when he kicks the guy in the mouth and the guy's just Okay, well, Justine, what did you think of this movie, first of all, before we get into the details?
It was good.
Shit.
It was good?
Mm-hmm. It is a five.
I think in a lot of twists and turns, I thought that guy was the bad guy the whole time.
Really?
I didn't read into it until later.
I didn't think he was
later.
The bad guy until after.
Well, no, I mean, he had the girl there. I'm like, ooh, she's bad too.
That's the way to go in, not knowing.
And then when the first guy died, I was like, oh, you just think there's only one person who's a bad guy. But then you find out there's three? Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm.
You got to really pay attention. You're like, holy cow.
Yeah, well, since I thought he was a bad guy, I'm like right when he has Clint Eastwood like put away his gun. I was like, see, Clint, that's why you don't listen to him. He's the bad guy. I was like, Clint, you're so trusting.
Clint, you're better than that.
I was like,
remember the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, I was just mad at him. Shoot I'm like, Clint, are you serious right now? Look what I got you into.
She loves Clint.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
You love Clint too much.
It was nice to see that they got to blow up another bridge in this one.
Uh-huh.
They blow up a lot of things.
There's a lot of bridges.
It's great that it's all on location.
Oh, my God. I was in love with those dynamite.
The area was beautiful.
Oh, the dynamite with the little thing.
Yes, I was in love with that. That is the most interesting dynamite I've ever seen. And I wanted to just, if they have a prop like that, I want one. I want one so bad.
Because you don't know how it works. Some are timed, some are on the string. Some are timed and on the string.
Some are proximity.
I was so confused with some of my, how do these work?
He
flips a switch. Sometimes they blow up right away. Sometimes they blow up when they're tripped. Sometimes they blow up a few seconds after they've been tripped. I'm like, what is this? Like, how is this functioning?
That's how I saw it tie in with the good, the bad,
and the
ugly.
He turned the dial an arbitrary amount. I'm like, I don't know.
This looks right.
Clint's a magician.
And then it magically blows up at the perfect time.
Yeah, the scorecard. It's like, okay, this is the one that's been the long fuse.
Clint knows. He knows it.
Because when they were driving past the ones that they set along the road, I'm like, okay, they're just gonna blow up right when they do it. And then you're sitting there, I'm like, wait.
Yeah, I was confused.
Is that not how these work?
Yeah.
Because he clearly hooked it up the exact same way that they did in that command room.
That's what you
think.
Then
they blew up right away.
Different wire.
Yeah, I would say. It tricked me a bit, but I did think he was the bad guy the whole time.
Best twist was at the end. When the guy, like, he confesses to everything, and he's like, well, you can either take the long drop, or you can, you know.
Oh.
So he opens the door and just jumps.
I know.
Do I have another option?
But I feel like they should have watched him to make sure he did die.
It's interesting that
he jumped out of the plane.
You see the Clint Eastwood reaction shot. He's like, you just see his eyes going.
And then right after, Clint just falls asleep.
And the good thing is,
they've had a long day.
Yeah.
They both fell asleep. They've had a long day.
He just dies in the most British way possible. Well, jolly good.
I know.
I suppose that's it. Yeah.
Well,
be seeing you. Gives the prisoner salute.
Cheerio, old chap.
You've caught me. I die
see
with
you
dignity.
In hell.
Yes, indeed. The most British way. Stiff upper lip. Well.
Standard attention and keel over.
Yes, yes. Well, we had a good run.
Yes, pish posh and all
but
that.
But I also feel like if Clint Eastwood were to die in that, the other guy wouldn't care.
Oh, no.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No, no, he's a tool.
That's the part that kind of pissed me off a little. Yeah, like, come on, it's Clint.
Yeah, he was climbing up. He
Clint
was climbing
was
up
used
the side.
This whole time.
Like, he can do it himself.
What I love is that Clint mows down Nazis and still, like in every Clint Eastwood movie, this time he gets his ass kicked by three doughy British guys.
They
they jump him.
But he's got the best parting line. He goes, "How about the next time you do one of these, you just keep it in the, just keep it the Brits and leave me out."
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you after the end of that. Was it a international movie or was it a U.S.?
It was a British. Movie? It was an English movie.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah,
that's why I realized that towards the end. I'm like, oh yeah, it was all English. Yeah.
But the
Clint Eastwood never did a British film again.
He's great in this, though. They
he really
not,
is.
They could not have picked anyone better.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I like that he doesn't talk for most of the movie. It fits so perfectly.
He lets all his movies so far.
He lets his guns do the talking.
Does he talk in any movie in his career?
Yes.
We're coming up on Dirty Harry.
All I know is that later on he ended up behind the camera.
Yes.
He's like, I'm not going to talk.
And he's directed some great movies.
But he figured it out pretty early on. The less said, the audience leans in. If you say anything, they're leaning in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because they're paying attention. If you don't talk for the first hour, when you finally open your mouth, they're listening to every word you say. You know? And also, I think it's the whole Gary Cooper thing, strong and silent.
Yeah,
I think he really took lessons from those. You
know? You just go major, and then shoot a lady in the back.
Second rate punk.
Because he's cool. That's the thing. People love him because he's just cool about it. You know?
Were you guys? It's a long movie. Were you guys okay with how much it took to build up to
didn't
everything.
Bother me at all.
Yes.
I had no issue. Justine made a comment that all these movies were really long. I had no issue with the length.
Yeah.
With something like this,
they felt just right.
You're kind of like on board because you want to know what happens next.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no dull moments. It's not slow at any point where you're just I didn't need that.
Yeah, for a long movie, there's no fat on this movie.
No,
really.
No, it's all
the
juicy
next,
meat.
The next movie, I wish it was shorter, but I don't know where I would have cut it. I don't know where it felt like it was long. But it seemed too long.
Well, that's what she said.
I'll tell you what
hopefully
Clint Eastwood
said.
Clint Eastwood said about Sergio Leone, and I think he's talking specifically about Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is there are a lot of David Lean, Lawrence of Arabia type shots of just
landscape. And you know what? I didn't need to see that torture go on for that long.
Oh, that's a
also, scene. The other reason it's long is because every time there's a showdown, it's like a half hour setup. It's all butted on, close up of the eyes.
Yes.
Now back. I didn't mind that.
I love that.
The close ups were good.
But I mean, that's why. I mean, here they are. They're going to pull their guns out. It takes 20 minutes to a half hour because they just like really milking it. You know, it's like he's looking at Tuco. Tuco's looking at him.
Looked at me. And like I looked at him.
Lee Van Cleef doesn't have the top of his finger. You're like, what? Okay. So okay. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
We'll get to the next one. But. So this one didn't bother you?
No. There's no dull moment in this movie to where you're just like, okay, I get it. Let's move on.
Yeah, where would you cut? Because it's all telling the story.
Yeah.
Also.
This is where I don't mind longer films. Longer, like.
If they're good.
If I'm interested,
If they're
take
good.
Your time.
Yeah. Take your time with it.
It's just 20-minute expanses of, people climbing up a rock wall.
Justice League.
Guns of Navarone.
No, that part was fine.
That was good.
Did you guys like this?
I like that he climbs up in his, dress shoes.
If you care about the characters and it's shot on location, you pretty much got the audience
like
on
I
board,
said,
you know?
The location, it's just like the location in Great Escape. Like, both of those are just beautiful.
If you really like this movie, there is a little mini documentary where they show what it took to shoot it on location, what it took to get all the equipment up in the snow.
Yeah,
because
they had
village,
to shoot it at a real castle.
And get all those vehicles, and they said it took time to get
I really all
that
wanted
stuff
to
there.
Hear that line from Princess Bride while I was watching. Have fun storming the castle.
They didn't storm it though; they took it from the inside.
No, this is one of the. This is a good one. This is.
He kills. I think I counted. He had 8 kills before he got to the part where he had the machine guns, where he got the guns.
And then it's just not fair because he's blowing up cars.
I don't get it. Like he killed those two people on the cart. I mean, why'd you even keep them alive in the first place? You didn't have to protect them. You could have just shot them and been done with that.
Which,
I think initially their plan was to take them with them so they could interrogate them.
Yeah, or be arrested.
Yeah, but then he's like, I'm going to blow it up. Like,
I mean, once they turn on you, it's after a point, it's like you got the information. You don't. I guess he was trying to do the right thing and keep them alive.
Yeah, it was like, just kind of that part I didn't really understand. I'm like, well, if you're going to kill them, just kill them.
Well, because they would be tried. They were traitors.
Yeah.
So you wanted
to keep them alive.
Yeah, but they didn't want to stay alive. So one guy did that cool drop off of the cable car, and the other guy. So Yeah, they blow up the cable
I
car.
I like he sticks his freaking axe in the dude's arm. Ugh. Pickaxe. Oh, just like, yeah. Oh, that hurts.
Climb down.
Okay. So he got shot in the hand, right?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Who?
Richard Burton
got shot in the hand.
There was no point to that.
And somehow was able to hold on.
Yes.
And was able to rip the grip off of those people who were holding on to him.
Because he's badass.
You know,
he
when you're dying.
He had a bullet shot through his hand.
But he's a badass. You know? He's a
fight or flight. He was fighting.
He's a Shakespearean actor.
He's a Shakespearean badass.
Ah, yes, of course, yeah.
Is this a dagger I see in my hand?
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
What? Hmm? Who?
So what are your final thoughts on Where Eagles Dare, guys? Give me your...
I love it.
Give me your ratings.
Five.
Jake, what do you got?
I give like an 7.5, 8.
All right. John?
Solid 8.
Yeah.
Agreed. Patrick? Solid 8.
I'm going to give... with Justine. Eight, yeah. This is the movie I wasn't sure about with Justine.
It's a wild card because she loves Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. She likes Clint Eastwood. She likes war movies.
It's a war movie.
It's
a war
set.
It's also a spy movie. So it's going to be like a 7.
No, I was going to give it a 7.5, but I think I do want to give it an 8.
Hey! Yay! Is that the highest one yet? Or no, she gave it 10 or something.
No, Singing in the Rain is a 10.
And
Breakfast at Tiffany's got a 10, too.
And what does Great Escape get, a 9?
I don't know.
Guns
we watched it again.
A,
I freaking
Guns of Navarone got a 10.
Guns of Navarone got a 10.
The more I watch Great Escape, it just keeps going up.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you give?
I give it an 8. Where Eagles Dare is one of my favorites.
Oh, so we all gave it an 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? We agreed on
that?
I would highly recommend this to Home Video Hustle.
I know. This is something I want them to review.
It's a bit of a slow start, but I think they'll be more than happy at the end. There's a lot of dummy kills in it.
I love that. How many dummy kills? You got to take a drink every time there's a dummy kill.
Oh, my God.
You'd be dead by the time
there's some
the
good
over.
Dummy kills in this. And
alcohol poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood would go double submachine gun, like just running around.
Can't go wrong with that.
And then you get him. Oh, then there's a, with him and Mary at the end where they're just drive-bying the entire Third Reich in the bus. They're just like out the back of the window, mm-hmm. just gunning people down. Yeah. Oh, there's also that great scene where they climb to the top of the stairs and Clint Eastwood's just standing there with the machine gun.
Oh, yeah, he's holding off everybody with one gun.
He doesn't say anything. He just smiles and just like. Mows him down.
And then I like he just picks up the grenade and throws it right back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or when they escape capture from the car and they push the car down and the car blows up before it even hits anything.
It goes over one bump and blows up.
Yep.
But
German engineering.
But knowing Clint, he probably had one of those dynamites in there.
Oh, yeah.
One of those dynamite packs.
But you know what? Way better than James Bond would have done it.
There you go. Did you like this better than every Bond movie?
Yes.
Are we really surprised?
I am too.
I'm glad you guys like this one. I wasn't sure how this would be taken. It's a movie that I really love, and it was really hard to find for the longest time on DVD, and it took forever to come out. I had it on VHS for years, and then
digitally,
finally came out
it was
on DVD.
Super easy to find.
I will tell you one of my favorite lines in history. Oh, by the way, Planet of the Apes got an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's the Rotten
And what did this one get?
Where Eagles Dare
100%.
No.
It better. 8.2. I remember we were at Tower Records once and
remember Tower Records.
My friend Where Eagles Dare gets a 90%.
Wow.
How about that?
My friend picked up a DVD copy of the movie Krull. Remember the movie Krull from the 80s? And he said, "You mean to tell me they've immortalized a piece of shit like Krull on DVD and I can't find Where Eagles Dare?" That was my favorite line of all.
Speaking of Krull, are they doing is Mystery Science Theater doing a live Krull coming up?
Rift Tracks is. Rift Tracks, they are going to do that, and we are going to see it.
Girl came into work and said, she was wearing a Mystery Science Theater shirt, and I said, oh, my buddy is such a fan, and she was going on and on. And then she says, oh, they're going to do Krull. I got mixed feelings, because I really like Krull. But I love Mystery Science Theater, so I know they're just going to do a great job.
No one's ever said they love Krull.
Well, she did.
That's a weird movie.
And I've never seen Krull, so I'm like, interesting.
That's a weird movie to love.
What's a Krull?
Now, we are on to the Sergio Leone classic.
Mm-hmm.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
So cheesy when they do like the ugly or right next to the guy's
I
face.
I loved it.
So great.
So
I was
good.
Like, oh my God. Like,
cheesy
the
or
good.
Stylish.
Stylish. I had labels. It was wonderful.
I needed to know who was who.
And he was ugly.
First of all, this is a movie that I should be offended by because of Tuca.
But it's Eli Wallach.
Yeah. Because I haven't seen anyone that stereotypical since the guy in Treasure of the Sierra Madre who says, "Badges, where we're going, we're not going to need any stinking badges." That's just kidding. That's from Back to the Future.
That's not from Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Roads that's also working. In...
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. It's from Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Yeah, it's like, I know, you're thinking this is like watching the Frito Bandito, you know, for 3 hours. You know?
Love it. I love
but
his portrayal.
Eli Wallach is so good. And, you know, it's funny because he's done this before. What movie is it where he's playing a Chinese warlord?
I don't know.
The Left Hand of God or something. And it's the same thing. You're going, God, it's always Eli Wallach. He's either in Chinese makeup or he's in, you know... he's always doing, if there's an ethnicity to do, he's doing it, you know.
Well, let's talk about, real quick, it's directed by Sergio Leone, written by Sergio Leone, starring Eli Wallach.
Oh, my God.
Clint Eastwood.
He's in the movie The Holiday.
And Lee Van Cleef. He is?
It's like his Eli last movie, Wallach. Right? That was his last movie, I think, right? He's an old man?
He's an old man. I didn't know that. Now, I like The Holiday.
It's crazy that I saw The Holiday. That was like a rom-com,
it
right?
It is a rom-com. I don't know how you know this.
How did I see that? I saw that with somebody. Who are the leads in that?
That's Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, that's why he saw it.
Why did I go
and
see
Jack
that?
Black, Kate Winslet? Jack Black and... what's his name?
Oh, is it...
Jack Black's in it?
Hugh Grant?
Not no. Hugh Grant. What's that guy's name?
Cary
Grant?
Name?
Hugh right. Montenegro?
No, he's Hugh going Hefner? Bald. He had a...
Going bald?
Hugh Hauser?
No.
He's like a Bradley Cooper
type. There's, right? Only there was a way...
Jude Law.
How did I... Why did I go see that movie? I saw that in the theater, but he plays...
It's very rom-com.
He plays the next door neighbor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, wow,
and he gets
Wallach.
An award, and she's the one introduced in the movies, and Jack Black writes the scores for
that's
movies.
That's right, it was him.
And you know, that's probably like his last
well,
movie.
I just saw the picture of what he looked like. I'm like, oh.
And he's in The Godfather 2, I think. He's in a million movies.
Three.
Godfather 3? I mean, he goes all the way back to Baby Doll and... The Misfits, he's all the way back. I mean, he's one of those actor studio guys. He goes, he's, you know, a contemporary of Brando and
he's great.
All those guys. He's always great. Always great.
He's
no
great in this one. He swears in Spanish like he was like,
oh, yeah.
Blondie! You know what you are!
I love
you're
the end
a son of a...
by the way, that is the only way I want to ever see somebody get out of handcuffs again.
Oh, yeah. I love how right to the last minute he's all, okay, a little to, okay, you're
and the
there
whole time
and I'm
he's
here.
Like, don't die.
I'm just a little closer. Now I duck and just pull it a little tighter. That's great.
All right.
It's a great character.
What did you, now you said, Justine, you felt this movie was a little too long?
Yeah, I just don't know what I would cut from it.
Patrick's shaking his head. What do you say, Patrick?
This is my favorite of the three.
Yes.
It was wonderful, and the best part of it was to get to see how he ends up back in his original outfit. Yes. So good.
Oh, with the poncho. Yeah.
Oh,
so
my God.
This is the movie you find out is a prequel to the other two. Because
He does like son of a bitch.
I never knew that. Where did you hear that? That's, this is the prequel.
That's true.
Well, look at his clothes.
His clothes. That's how he gets his costume.
He has that trench coat.
That's right. So the last thing he puts on is the poncho.
Is the poncho.
Yeah.
So that's how you see him in the other two movies. So.
He gets, yeah.
Now, you loved the first two. You must have loved him in this.
I don't know. Did I? Am I talking about
are
it
you
yet?
Ready, Justine?
Who's
tell me what
say?
You thought about
I don't
this
know,
one.
Maybe.
I like the first two better than I like this one.
Oh. Wow.
I like the first two equally, and I love them. So let's say like they have like a 10.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm
this one
man.
Would just have a 9.
Is that because he's sharing his screen time with a bunch of other people?
I just think the length of it. I think I love the cheesiness of the first two more than I like this one.
This is an epic. This really. When I thought,
it's a
God,
seems like a bigger movie.
This is like Sergio Leone's Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
But I love the simpleness of the first
two.
Like,
I can see that.
I loved it.
I can see.
And
that.
Now,
I think for that sake, for that reason, you will like. There are people who like once, it's between those two movies, it's people who like Good, the Bad, the Ugly better, and the good. There are people who do the digging, and there are people who hold the gun. No, there's people who like Once Upon a Time in the West better, and Good, the Bad, the Ugly better, and I love Once Upon a Time in the West, but I feel like I go back to Good, the Bad, the Ugly more, because it's more of a fun ride for
it's
me.
It's more fun. Mm. I don't know why I like Once Upon a Time in the West better, maybe because it is heavier. There isn't much lightheartedness in that one. That is really dark.
Yeah.
But it just feels even more epic. If it's possible for something to feel even more epic, you know.
That's our guest. I just waved at our guest out there. But
I think I wanted Tuco to die, and it just wasn't happening for a long
time. You wanted who to die?
Tuco. I thought he was like a beginning guy that was just going to die off, because I thought the cat eye guy was the bad guy.
Oh, well, Angel
he
Eyes.
Is.
He is
Angel
the bad
Eyes.
Guy.
Well, I mean, I know.
Angel Eyes is the bad guy.
But I didn't know we were going to stick with Tuco this long.
Tuco's the ugly.
Because they had more of a relationship, oddly enough. They do have sort of a relationship.
Which is great. And I honestly thought they were going to... This is what I thought was going to happen from watching it. I thought Tuco, they were going to kill him off, and he was going to take whatever his share of the money was and give it to that monk, his brother.
Oh.
That's what I thought was going to happen the whole time in the movie, because I'm like... Because you kept saying that he does something that would make me really love him. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, this is it. He's going to give him the money.
He saves his life.
It's not that kind of movie.
But why have him watch that? Like, why have Clint Eastwood watch that part is so weird to me. Because I was like, oh.
Watch what part?
Give the money. He's watching him talk to his brother.
Oh, because gives him sort of an insight into
Tuco. It shows
Tuco.
That he's a human being.
Yeah. It's the only time you go, oh, wow, Tuco's got, because he's sort of lying. Oh, my brother, he loves me. You know, every time.
You feel for him.
I just assumed that it was because he's going to give the money to them.
No. Like, throughout the whole movie, you think he's just an asshole and he's just a dick. And then you see that part and you're like, wait, he's actually a real person.
When he ties him up, I'm like, cool, they're going to give the money to back to his brother. That's the whole time I just kept thinking that.
It just isn't that kind of movie.
Did you like that Westworld reference, though, when he stands him up on the tombstone?
Oh, my God.
He's just like, okay.
Oh.
What does he say?
Well, that's what they do that in Westworld.
Is that the second season?
Yeah, they hang a bunch of the guests and they leave him standing on the tombstone like that.
They said
they just ride off.
Besides this movie, there was three other movies that has a Truul.
As a what?
And they're all
A what?
What's that guy's name?
A Truul. What?
Having the three, like a duel. But
with three?
Yeah.
So you have for a few dollars?
It's all Quentin Tarantino movies, though.
Well, they started in the first, in For a Few Dollars More, they have that. Well, it's not really, because Clint's just watching.
He's just...
But John Woo does that too, right?
Yeah, where you have like three guys.
And then Reservoir Dogs, there's a standby. How did you like the way Angel Eyes got it at the end? He rolls into the grave.
He shoots his gun in his head and dies.
That's so great.
He was respectful. He gave him back his gun.
That's a great way for him to go. That's the guy you want to...
You bastard.
That's the guy.
When did you unload it?
Oh, yeah. While you were asleep.
Oh, man. What about...
Epic.
Jake, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a fun ride. Tuco's such an asshole, but you kind of...
You hate him, but then you grow to love him.
Do you love him, though?
Yes. Because Clint Eastwood, or Blondie, like, screwed... I mean, you kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Royally screwed him.
He just leaves him on the desert, like, for no reason.
Royally
he's like, you know what?
Him.
We're done. Like, he just, for no other reason than just, it came upon him. He's like, you know what? Partnership dissolved. Have fun walking back to town. It's 70 miles. You know?
Yeah.
So he kind of got what he deserved.
Yeah.
In a way, he did, but...
I would have been okay with him killing him at the end.
But the second he's like, oh... Or he's like, what did he tell you? He's like, oh, no. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're friends, right?
Oh, you're okay, Blondie. I'll take care of you, Blondie. Don't die on me.
I was angry. I don't mean it.
And I love how he's all, it's lucky I was around to help you. You could have been out there alone. Right. You could have died out there alone if I wasn't there with you. You know? Interesting way to look at it.
He's such a great character.
That's why you don't really... That's the thing. That's why it's Angel Eyes you want to get it. He's so sadistic.
He murders a guy he kills the family in the beginning.
Oh yeah, you hate it.
I always want to know what they're eating in that first scene.
What is that scene? It's
soup?
like potatoes or stew or something.
I don't know.
Stew.
That the way they're eating it, just eyeballing each other the whole time.
The thing I don't get is the whole bridge scene, because they're obviously able to cross it just by walking. Don't they have horses that they can just go across the water?
Well, look at that bridge.
That's because there's Confederates.
Yeah, but there's a battle going on.
No, I know that that's happening.
Clear them out.
Do you need that bridge to cross?
No, that was them doing it so that
the whole battle was because of that bridge. They blew up the bridge, so they didn't need to be there anymore.
No, I get that, but they don't need a bridge.
No. But that shows you. That's to show you that even more so Clint Eastwood has compassion for what's going on, because he says that line, "I've never seen so many men wasted so badly." Mm-hmm. It was more about wanting them to just stop the fighting.
Yeah.
Than it was, or maybe it was just as much about as wanting them to get the
treasure.
But
when they're setting up the dynamite, are they not standing the whole time, walking all the way across?
No, they were underneath.
Yeah, they didn't cross the whole bridge, though. You got to remember that.
Oh, they only went half.
Yeah, they only went like halfway, because they didn't need to blow up the whole thing.
Yeah. It was great.
I thought I saw the beginning and the end. I was like, they walked it the whole time. Why do they need a bridge to cross?
There's well, no they reason. Don't. They could have got. Yeah, they could have gone, but there was a. Remember, they
probably
got captured.
Would have got shot.
They weren't. They got. They were there because they got the troops grabbed them, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" That was the whole thing. So they
volunteering.
Yeah, they got. They kind of got pulled into that situation. So.
Yeah. So they found their way out by yeah, blowing up the bridge.
But man, I love this movie.
Yeah.
So good.
It's solid.
Because a lot of nice little pieces, set
oh,
pieces.
Yeah. Everybody's great in it.
I like the scene where they're walking through the deserted town mm-hmm. and the shells are going off yeah. and they're killing all of
I like the
Angel
fact that
men.
It's still dubbed. Like, the yes. audio is not perfect. I think that makes it
yeah.
so much better.
Well, yeah, you can't imagine it any other way because everybody's dubbed. Not yeah. just, not, I mean, there's a million Italian actors in that movie, but everybody's dubbed, I think.
Your Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I love that. That's a particularly great scene because yeah. he's loading his gun and you're going, come on, come on, clean it out, put it together, okay, put the bullet in, come on. And he's just like, yeah. it's like, no big hurry. But he hears him. You know, it's like, you know, he, at a certain point you're going, okay, he's moving a little faster.
My favorite scene in the whole movie is if you're going to talk, talk. If you're going to kill somebody, kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
He shoots him. He's got the gun in the bathtub.
The bubble bath thing. He's got the gun tied around his neck the whole time.
I mean, it's got so many great scenes. For Eastwood fans, this has just got a cornucopia.
And the score. Scenes. Let's yeah. talk about Ennio Morricone's score.
Oh, my God.
The score is just as much of
iconic.
It's a character.
It's a character, mm-hmm. yeah.
How many albums, you know, that year, people kept covering that song? You know, I'm sure the soundtrack was a hit, but I mean, people kept saying, and you also get so-and-so performing the theme from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you know? Anybody with an orchestra was like, okay, we're gonna do my version of it.
Yep, that's it. We're doing the Hugo Montenegro version.
That's right. That's right. That was the hit version, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
That's it.
The Guy Lombardo version.
John, do you love this movie, obviously?
I do.
You would you say you like Once Upon a Time in the West a little better?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just give it just a little more. I don't know why. It's just such a knockout. I you know, it just a little more. But it's definitely a heavier film. You talk about, you know, light versus heavy, yeah.
This song makes me want to learn how to play the piano.
It's tough. It's tough.
What about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just made me want to play Red Dead Redemption.
Yes!
Really bad.
Red
I was
Dead
like,
2 coming
I
out.
I just want to be on a freaking horse shooting people.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it in a few months.
I just asked Renee when I walked in the comic book shop. I'm like, do you have a Western comic book I can read right
yes.
now?
Yes.
I'm just on a
Oh,
click.
It made you hungry for more Westerns.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to shoot people. Oh, and I wanted Westerns. To do like the...
I see.
It just like, keeps repositioning it on his arm.
What about Shorty? Poor Shorty.
That was pretty
it's messed up.
Sorry, Shorty.
Red Dead 2, October 26th.
Yes,
yeah,
right around
fix.
The corner.
PS4, Xbox One.
Listen to that.
I know. This is what makes you feel like you've just watched an opera. It's like, was that an opera I was just watching?
I'll probably play this over while I'm playing Red Dead 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Play
there
the soundtrack instead.
I like to play the music from the duel, from the end. That's always
yeah.
my favorite.
The way he frames some of those shots.
Oh, yeah. Just like that whole graveyard setup was beautiful. Like how it's all laid out and everything.
And, you know,
like
he was
that.
A big
like the,
fan
the fact
of
that he got to run around.
Oh, yeah.
The whole
that
time,
you see him running around trying
like,
to find
oh,
the grave.
Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
It looks way better than a.
It's epic.
Back, like just going and yeah. curving around.
You know, he probably saw every John Ford movie ever
yeah,
made.
Yeah.
He was a big fan because he's framing everything just
it's
beautifully.
Done very, very well.
Here you go. Listen to that.
Yeah.
That whole last buildup for that when they're just
yeah.
staring at each other. Love it.
You know, think about how this movie would play without the soundtrack. As
yeah.
good as it is.
It would be good.
As good as it is without the soundtrack, it's a whole different movie.
You would be missing something. It
yeah.
wouldn't be the same thing.
Yeah, the music is just as much of a character.
This is what
like
makes
said.
It epic, yeah.
Let's watch. Listen. I'm going to go watch it again.
How soon before we watch Once Upon a Time in the West?
It'll be in the next batch.
The next batch?
Yes.
Great. You want more Westerns?
Yes,
boy.
I do.
You're
going to
see a couple.
That's the Uber Western, man.
Yeah, because it's we'll be watching Once Upon a Time in the West, Once Upon a Time in the West, and Honor, Majesty, Secret Service, and...
Bond's back, baby.
Butch Cassidy, I believe.
And the Sundance Kid?
That's it.
Nice.
I can't stop listening to this.
Talk about light. I'm going to be very curious what Justine says about Butch Cassidy.
John, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who are those guys? That always makes me laugh.
I know. You know when Mad Magazine did their version? Uh-huh. It was like, who are those guys? And it was all comedians. It was like Bob Hope with Jack Benny, Woody Allen. That's who are those guys? They're all like slinging their guns around.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And they said, because you're giving us comedians a bad name.
Listen to that.
So good.
What do you think?
Listen. Doesn't that just make you want to run into a town and...
Shoot people up? Yes.
What do you think Justine's going to say about the soundtrack to Butch Cassidy?
Oh, I don't know. That's going to be it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be like, what the fuck?
So The Good, Bad, and the Ugly just like completely explains Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
It makes so much sense. Like, yeah. I love Quentin Tarantino movies, and it's just like this.
John Woo
makes
and Sergio Leone are the big, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
This makes sense.
Who else is a big one with him? It's John Woo and Sergio Leone.
Sergio Leone, and he does Kurosawa.
Yeah,
and well, he actually likes more of the other, some of like the
he likes the
Japanese.
Yeah, films, yeah,
the Japanese. I can't think of the guy's name. Yeah. Did a lot of movies in the '60s, like
I know who
Tokyo
you're talking
Drifter.
About.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. Brent's while yelling at the radio right now. But Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'll go first. I give this one a 9. This is one of my all-time favorites. The more I see it, the more I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot to... It's just a lot of fun. Just if you want to see a great scene on YouTube, just look for the scene where Tuco goes into the gun shop.
No, not even. Just watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's well worth the time you invest in this movie to watch it. Don't watch clips of it. Watch the whole thing.
Damn it. And don't watch it on your phone. Jake?
Nope, watch it on a TV.
What do you give this one? You love it?
You look neat.
Give it an 8.
Good.
Did you like the other two better, or did you like The Bad and the Ugly?
I liked the other two a little bit more.
I think the problem with watching them so close together is that you want more Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
You want more of that.
That's what it
and
is.
And there's a lot less of him here, and I think that's...
Because he's sharing the screen.
He's sharing the screen.
Although it was kind of nice that we watched a Clint Eastwood movie right after, too, so we're just like, yeah, that works out.
There he is.
There he is again. Yeah. Oh, hi. There you go. Okay. John?
It's a 9. It's a solid 9. Yeah. I mean, you can't come up with many Westerns that are better than this one.
And this sets the tone for a lot of other movies.
Yeah, it's very hard to think of a Western that's as good as this one.
And just the whole plot with the treasure and where that ends up and the way they do that.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
It's a nice little twist at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Patrick?
Movie's a 9. Music's a 10.
All right. Justine?
I give it a 9.5.
Hey!
Wow!
And whatever I rated the other two, I give those ones 10s.
I did not expect that.
Oh, what did you rate them?
She likes Westerns and she likes spaghetti Westerns
and
war movies.
So this made you like the other ones better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I like the other ones a lot, but I wanted this one to just blow those ones off, and it didn't quite.
It didn't.
I mean, it
me.
Was good, though. It was good. I still really liked it. It just wasn't. There.
I got a question for you. Have you ever seen The Unforgiven?
Nope.
I think we're going to watch it.
I got to go buy a box set of these movies.
The three pack of this is not very expensive. And The Good, Bad, and the Ugly has a ton of...
expensive.
The Good, Bad, and the Ugly has a ton of extras on it.
This is a movie I would... These movies I would just be fine having on in the background all day long. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, yeah, great.
Yeah, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is one of my... It's one of my favorites. One of my go-tos. But I think we're coming up on some American... I know you like the spaghetti western, but we're coming up on some American westerns.
I've
think
been
you're
disappointed
like.
Before, so
another
don't
one
get my hopes up.
You should really check out, Justine, is High Plains Drifter.
Are we watching that?
We do not, but we are watching The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Am I right? High Plains Drifter?
Except for one scene, yes. And you know the scene I'm talking about.
I don't think I do.
Yes, you do. There's one question. There's one questionable scene right in the beginning.
Home run, right out of the park.
Right in the beginning. All right.
In the beginning.
So for the next time, we are going to watch Once Upon a Time in the West.
Great.
We're going to watch On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes.
And then it's a toss-up. Should we watch, John, let me ask you this. Let me defer to you. Should we watch The Wild Bunch or should we watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Because they're both the same year.
The Wild Bunch needs its own... its own thing. It shouldn't be lumped in with any other westerns. You need to give it its own space. That's just my opinion.
You know what? You're right. Let's do Butch Cassidy. It's a little lighter.
And the thing with Butch Cassidy is, I mean, I'm not giving anything away. That's a light western. So don't come in thinking it's going to be heavy.
I mean,
it's great, but it's light.
James Bond too.
Yeah. So let's do Butch Cassidy. We'll do Honor Majesty's Secret Service, and we'll do
A lot of people think that this is one of the best James Bonds, period. It's odd because it's not Sean Connery and it's not Roger Moore.
Once Upon a Time in the West. So we'll do Once Upon a Time in the West, Magic Secret Service, and Butch Cassidy for the next one.
There you go.
No, Butch Cassidy's great. You're going to love
it. It's your James Bonds. I just want to break this, all your DVDs.
But let me tell you something. This is one of the best. This is very much like From Russia with Love. Very little gadgets.
And the only one with, I'm just going to say, with a strong female character.
Oh, that's it.
She can go toe-to-toe with Bond, no problem. Mm-hmm. If you liked Zero, you're going to love
And did we end up watching all of Sean Connery's or no?
We're going to skip Diamonds Are Forever because I hate that movie.
That's kind of weird. I mean,
and this is the end of now of Sean Connery.
Yes. We're not going to do Never Say Never Again.
I don't know if we will. I don't know. I don't have it. But
he didn't do too much, but he aged a lot.
But let me give you guys. I took some input. So we talked about at the end of each decade going back and picking up some stuff we missed.
Yes.
So we've had some suggestions.
Uh-huh.
So this will actually carry us a couple more weeks because we'll have the Wild Bunch, and the Wild Bunch will officially end the 60s.
Uh-huh.
We do have to go 69. Back.
That's a good way to end them.
We do have to go back and pick up the Magnificent Seven at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Movies. We're going to go back and pick that up, which I have it. We just didn't watch it at the beginning of the 60s.
This is going to blow your mind. I have never seen that movie.
Okay, we'll watch it. Okay, Wild Bunch and Magnificent Seven will definitely be on the same, but they're very much a study in contrast, so
absolutely,
it's okay.
Yeah. So what year is Magnificent Seven?
1960. It started the
60s. Wild Bunch is 69?
69, yeah. So it's 69. Like a bookend of Westerns. But we had some suggestions from people on Twitter, as I asked, what are some movies that you want to see from the 60s that we didn't get to? And there are some important movies I missed. The one most requested was Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Ooh. So do you guys want to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, John is interested in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, another one we got was, I was going to put this one on anyway because it's readily available. It just depends on the copy you get. Night of the Living Dead, I think, is something we should definitely watch.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Because that is the blueprint. Now, we have room for a few more.
It's the template for
every zombie.
So
people have suggested.
Are you saying we have room for a few dollars more?
Hey.
No. We have.
Damn!
We have,
no, just a fistful.
We've been.
A fistful.
We've been. We've had suggestions like 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Never seen it? Okay.
Never. Watch it by yourself.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that one.
You know,
I can't do that, Justine.
That to me is less essential than Dr. Strangelove.
I gotta say, absolutely, Dr. Strangelove. That's just like a much.
What is Dr. Strangelove about?
It's a comedy.
Oh,
he's so mad. It's a comedy.
No. I wasn't mad. Everyone should see that. That's in my top 10 of all time. Dr. Strangelove is always in my top 10 of all time. Not to oversell it.
Now Justine's going to give it a 4.
Now she's going to give it a 3. She's like, I don't like it.
John, you sold it.
The problem, I know, I get too excited. The problem with 2001 is, never mind, don't watch it on a phone. It's almost like you should watch it in a theater.
And they just re-released it.
They did. It's an IMAX. Did you know that it's an IMAX right now?
Is it still?
I believe so. It's almost like your TV is too small.
Are you saying a show field trip?
Yeah, but boy.
Live show?
Bring
live
a pillow and plenty to eat.
Rent out the theater and do a live show.
I think there's still a couple IMAXs playing 2001.
Just like we did with Wrath of Khan.
Khan!
This is the opposite of the Wrath of Khan.
Khan, you think that came from Blondie?
Oh, yeah.
Blondie!
You son of a bitch.
You Sandy Babish.
And he whips out a bag of Fritos.
Excited for Clint Eastwood to light up his cigar.
Oh, the cheroot. Yeah.
Anytime. You're just like, oh, shit, it's going to light it. It's going to light it.
Oh, that beginning where
he's so excited.
And he even gives it to Tuca when they're on the stagecoach. Yeah. He's all, nothing like a good cigar after a meal.
Okay, here we go. These are the suggestions.
And he's all, this
Butch Cassidy, which we're going to do.
Yes. Yep.
The Odd Couple.
Yes.
Rosemary's Baby.
Nah.
The Pink Panther or A Shot in the Dark. That's from Eric of Aragon. Besada Geek said The Graduate, Night of the Living Dead. We're going to do Night of the Living Dead. The Apartment, Butch Cassidy, which we're going to do. Cool Hand Luke.
Whoa. Mm.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm.
The Hustler.
Mm.
Brent keeps suggesting The Brain That Wouldn't Die, which is a terrible movie. I've only actually seen the Mystery Science Theater version.
He wants us to watch some really bad movies.
I asked him for bad B movies.
No, Cool Hand Luke is a classic, but I strongly vote for The Odd Couple. You know me.
Well, we'll table that discussion for a little later, but we'll definitely put Night of the Living Dead in there. We'll definitely put Dr. Strange.
Yes.
So, but it won't be this coming week.
Right.
We'll pick them up. So after
we should do it at the end of the 60s and then just take the three. We'll choose three out of the bunch and do it that way.
Okay. Well, we're going to have, we'll be able to do four because.
We'll do three.
We'll have Wild Bunch. We'll have Wild Bunch. Okay. And we'll have Wild Bunch and Magnificent Seven will be on their own. So we'll have one more to fit in there, and then we'll have another one with
aren't
just requests.
Aren't those both heavy movies, though?
No.
Okay.
Wild Bunches, but not the other one.
Is this for next week or the
next
week after?
So it'll be 2 weeks from now. We're going to do Once Upon a Time in the West, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, and Butch Cassidy.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Yep.
So that was a great. I'm really glad that was a good digital movie club. All right, guys.
Dude,
good
no
movies this week.
Below. Wait, what did you rate?
We were all nines on
Planet of the Apes. I was going to say, we didn't have a score below
what's
eight, but I think
there?
That's not right.
I gave it
a five.
6.5, right?
Six.
Well, okay. But what did we all gave something a nine. What was it? Was it,
it was
Good,
Bad,
and the Where
Eagles Dare got
Eagles
an
dare,
eight.
Eight, and it was
everybody got an
dare.
Eight. Yeah. All right. So for John, for Justine, for Patrick, for myself.
And Tuco.
And for Tuco.
And me.
And Blondie.
Hijo de gran puta.
Let's go out with Heart of Glass.
Blondie! You son of a...
All right, we will say this transmission ends now. Keep watching those movies, guys. Stay brown. Fight the power. I can't. Listen to that.
We'll just stay. We don't have to go anywhere.
All right, we have another show coming up, so stay tuned. We'll drop that in a minute.
But drop the deuce.
For now, we say goodbye to the Digital Movie Club. Goodbye,
did you move? Are you still recording?
By the way, this is a little number called The Trio from the Good and Bad and the Ugly soundtrack. Ennio Morricone.